All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 579 for Thursday, September 26th, 1973. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and answering the question of what do you call mixing hard liquor with coffee?
Irish coffee?
Getting ready for
Tuesday.
Work.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. Yeah, getting ready for work. Tonight, we have a Mad Men. What's up, Mad Men?
Nothing much. Happily looking forward to tomorrow being over. It's going to be the longest Friday of the world ever. But it will eventually end. Could last a week and a half, but it will end.
Why are you so concerned about Friday being over?
Oh, my vacation starts.
Ah, good reason. And next up, we have an RU. What's up, RU?
I'm on permanent vacation.
Yeah, well, you know, pissing off that judge will do that.
Yeah, well, free room and board's okay, though, but that I'm not real keen on the sex.
You're doing it wrong, or she's doing it wrong. Maybe he's doing it wrong, but then I'm going to start questioning things.
No, it's just been another fucking long week, dude. If it's not election shit sucking the oxygen out. It's sports ball finals.
Yeah. That's, it's always flipping something, isn't it?
Either way, all completely fake and gay.
Well, at least Kathleen Kennedy would be happy about it.
Put a chick in it, make her lame and gay.
I'm starting to question the integrity of Formula One right now. That's another story for another show. There's some shenanigans going on.
Well, I know they started at one point. People were up in arms because they were putting some pretty arbitrary rules in on the cars.
Yeah, yeah, that's been a big one, but just something doesn't look right.
Like I know there was a big thing with that limiter plates a few years ago.
I mean, it's sort of like Trump assassinations. I can't prove anything, but fuck, it looks weird.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yep.
So I guess we'll start with this one. It's from Torrent Freak. As reported last week, an order published in Argentina, dated for September 13th, 2024, revealed that local ISPs are now required to block dozens of Magis TV-linked domains for violating intellectual property law. So Magis TV, for anybody who doesn't know, is one of those Android live TV streaming apps. In total, 69 domains must be blocked so that internet users cannot access them from anywhere inside Argentinian territory. The nature of the listed domains suggests that rights holders focused on resellers of Magis TV subscriptions. One of the service's main domains appears on the list, but as things stand, any damage to availability is likely to be both limited and short-lived. Torrent Freak's report coincided with the latest wave of Operation 404 in Brazil last Thursday, which also led to three arrests in Argentina. On Friday, dozens of local media reports linked to those arrests to Magis TV. According to reports, these names, Hugo Javier Muspin, 47, of Buenos Aires, is linked to the teaching of computer courses in Argentina. Before that, he was employed at a transport company.
Teaching of computer courses isn't bad.
Apparently, now it's a crime. Leopold Federico Pena, 46, also of Buenos Aires, reportedly has a history of marketing household appliances and electric equipment. In mid-2022, in concert with others, he reportedly registered several companies for the purposes of importing, exporting, distributing, and maintaining such products. InfoBay reports that the youngest of those arrested, 27-year-old Kevin Ariel Bentecur from Buenos Aires had a job working at a car dealership. Pictures of all three were widely published by local media late last week following their arrests. So, yeah, all of them were arrested for running streaming sites, I think. News reports also showed law enforcement entering premises and retail outlets suspected of selling fully loaded TV boxes, with at least some devices sold with the Magis TV app pre-installed. A raid targeting To-Do Tech in Misiones is said to have yielded just three TV boxes, but another at Kive in Caba, a more impressive 481 TV boxes were seized by the police. Partly, I wonder, it's like nothing better to do. So you're going after the TV pirates? Really? I feel like that's
not a great piracy. Use of police time. It's not the piracy, Morps. It's to stop unregulated news.
Either way, I feel like there are probably better uses of police time, especially in that part of the world.
Yeah, they really, really police the news in that part of the world.
This type of high-profile action is clearly meant to send a message. Whether that message will include custodial service is remains to be seen, but the loss of money invested in devices taken away by the police has the potential to sting and give pause for thought, if nothing else. Yet, whatever happens in Argentina, the court order has a component that goes beyond seizing devices and ISPs blocking Magis TV. The component isn't just controversial. Depending on how it's handled, it could reverberate far beyond Argentina. If those who requested this additional component thought it through, there are clear signs that's exactly what they did. Whatever happens next will determine just how far rights holders are prepared to go to ensure people stop watching pirated live TV. The action targeting Magis TV appears to have two tracks, the blocking action and then criminal investigation. The initial complaint to authorities was filed by LATAM Anti-Piracy Group in Alzania, which represents companies interconnected to the pay TV sector, DirecTV, Sky Brazil, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Disney, Globo, Wind Sports, Telecom, the list goes on. The investigation was carried out by Argentina's specialized unit on cybercrime and headed by prosecutor Alejandro Musso. As we know, the request to block 69 Magis TV linked domains was handed down September 13th by Judge Esteban Rosgoli at Court 4 of San Andreas. We all know I cannot say these names, so just enjoy the mispronunciation. No stranger to controversy himself, Judge Rosgoli granted a request that seems likely to be the source of even more. Prosecutor Musso says that the blocking of 69 domains means that the app will no longer be able to be downloaded, but they needed to go further than that. Specifically, the threat posed by millions of copies of Magis TV already installed in users' devices needs to be eliminated, and the judge agreed. So here we go with the part that's kind of nuts. In instructions to Google, Judge Rosgoli said that the company must, quote, adopt the necessary technical means to immediately uninstall from Android systems that report IP addresses to be in the territory of the Argentinian Republic, which can be verified by the IP addresses assigned to the country, the application named Magis TV. They are ordering Google to reach into every Android device and remove this application.
Change the name of the application.
They're going to have to scan all the contents of every device.
Well, the gag of it,
without a warrant.
The gag of it is that most of these Android TV boxes aren't running Google Play and hooked into Google services anyways. They're running the open source version of Android with this stuff just, it would be sideloaded, but this stuff just loaded on and set up as a media box. You know, it's going to have whatever little custom front-end app that launches Magis TV. It may not even have the Android desktop or dashboard or whatever under it. So the order specifies a file name, Magis Mobile version 6.5.2.apk, and hash values. A virus total report confirms that both hashes relate to the same file, which is a 50 meg Android APK. Commenting on the instruction to Google, Musso acknowledges that this has never been done before, but defends the unprecedented measure as entirely necessary. Quote, what was achieved is an unprecedented court order, which is in the process of being analyzed by Google. We understand that they cannot deny it, which is to uninstall through the Android operating system update the application on all devices that have an IP address in Argentina, Musso says. So he's saying, we understand Google can't say no, which I guarantee you they can, but they're going to appeal that just because I don't think they can do it. They're, I mean, literally, I don't think they have a way to do that. Having been granted this type of power once, rights holders aren't known for letting the momentum go to waste. In recent years, as anti-piracy efforts have become more globalized, court orders issued in one country are often cited in others, showcasing the potential power courts possess if they truly prioritize intellectual property protection. In Argentina, this expansion appears to have been part of the planning. Quote, we understand that this measure will be replicated immediately by many countries that have the same type of problem. Unquote. Prosecutor Musio continues. Quote, what will be achieved once this is completed is that the installed app disappears and cannot be downloaded again, thus breaking the cycle of digital piracy. Oh, that's not how that works.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The can only never way download that again.
The only way Magus TV could circumvent this is to develop a new app where we would be waiting for them ready to do the exact same thing once we identify it. Unquote.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then
so
they'll
you twiddle
do it again.
You twiddle
and then
some
they'll
bits.
Do it again.
I twiddle some bits, change the name. Sideload it again? I mean, fuck, what do you think?
Wait,
I mean,
6 months? Fucking get do it again? Wait, this
I'm
is
not,
not how
yeah,
you
Google
fix
hasn't,
this.
I'm not going to finish this, but Google hasn't responded yet. So, this is nuts. They're ordering Google to reach into every Android device and make sure that if they're in Argentina, this app doesn't exist. One, I don't think they can, especially given what most of those Android boxes are. If you've ever bought one of those $30 Android TV boxes, that's what they are. They've just got a bunch of stuff preloaded on it. They're not hooked to Google. They usually just have some out-of-date, open-source version of Android that's been bloated on it with a handful of apps to make it somewhat usable. Sometimes they'll be linked to some app store that you've never heard of, usually in a language you don't speak. go ahead, are you?
Oh, I'm just saying, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. It's generally in a language you cannot speak. Moon runes.
And, yeah, Google will have no administrative authority over these devices. You know, the problem I have with this, though, is it sets the precedent, because the court didn't say this is clearly nuts. The court said, yeah, that's reasonable. Let's tell Google to make sure nobody can run this app.
Google is just going to go fuck off.
Well, yeah, of course they are, but the problem I have is it creates a precedent.
Yeah, and that's all they did. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's what the article was going on about. It. The guy's saying, yeah, we know. And so pretty soon, it'll be a list of apps that they don't want on anybody's devices. Then after that, what's to stop them from saying, oh, you can't have these files?
The precedent doesn't concern me for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, any country that would follow it would already do it anyway.
Yeah.
And they're talking as though the idea of a country looking at other legal systems for precedent is novel. It isn't. The only countries that don't are countries that can't. And those, a lot of the judges lie about it anyway. I'm naming ours on that one. Because in both federal and in state jurisprudence, there are constitutions stating what judges can actually look at. And a lot of times they ignore it and go with, well, in this country it's happened before, so I think it's valid.
Yeah, there was that New York judge who said, I don't care about the Second Amendment, you're not using it in my courtroom. It's like, how is that person still a judge? It's like, that's not how
like,
law works.
It would have happened or it won't. And it's you already have issues beyond the precedent at that point.
But I just really don't like this idea of expecting, you know, the operating system providing company to be required to reach in and remove stuff from people's computers. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, because now they can look at, to do that, they need to be able to look at everything that's on your computer.
Effectively.
Google doesn't need to know how much money I have in my checking account unless I'm buying something from them. Then they only need to know, does he have this much or more?
Well, no, they don't.
They need your bank. Does he have this much?
They need your, you know, whatever whatever you're using to pay what you're buying from them to acknowledge that, yes, you can afford to do it. Google doesn't even need to know that. Just your financial institution is the one that needs to know that.
Google's going to know because it's either going to bounce or not. So
well,
that's
okay,
semantic.
Fair. But
yeah, they don't need to know the or more. It's just,
but
can
they
you pay me $1.50?
They also don't need to be choosing what gets to run on my device. And yes, I know I use Apple stuff. That's outside of that. Okay, it's only partially outside of that point. I can jailbreak any of them and do what I want with them.
If it goes with the precedent, then Apple in Argentina will be forced to do this also. That's one downside. It's not just going to be limited to Google in Argentina.
People aren't turning iPhones into media boxes to watch pirated TV. Well, they might be, but not directly. Usually they still use like a Google stick or an Android stick of some kind to cast from the phone to the TV to do that. But even so, yeah, it's, I mean, I really don't like this idea because it's not that much of a stretch to say, okay, Apple, Microsoft, any computing device on your app, on your operating system, you have to go disable this, whatever it is in the court case. And once that precedent is set, I mean, it'll never stop.
I can see it from here. I can see my government trying that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if governments can tell these companies, no, you're not allowed to have that app. Anybody running Windows, run, you know, go push an update to kill it. Anybody running Google, Android, go put an update to kill it. Of course, iOS. Well, to be fair, if it's that cool of an app, Apple probably wouldn't have approved it for the App Store anyways. But you get my point. So that's why I keep a Raspberry Pi in a nice tough metal container with the iPad, because I can shell into the Raspberry Pi and just turn the iPad into a terminal, basically, and then still do whatever I want. Is that kind of a roundabout way of doing it? Yeah. But because the iPad does most of what I need, primarily running a web browser, it works. So
all you need.
Well, I'm going to replace the Pi. I'm working on a new build using a Latte Panda running Proxmox, but not the one I sent you with the bag. That was cool, though, and I'm stealing some of those ideas, but I've had a Latte Panda Alpha sitting on the shelf over there with the plans to make a box and put a battery together. And I haven't gotten that far because reasons. I don't know. Do we have anything else on that? I mean, I'm
pretty good.
I mean, Mad Men seems to think I'm overreacting a little bit to the concept.
On the precedent, kind of, but on the idea that it shouldn't, that the company shouldn't be going into devices, that's crap. The banning IPs, it's Argentina. They have the right to say what can and can't come out of their country. Well, yeah. If the citizens don't like it, then vote for another government. And if the government's not responsive to voting, time to overthrow your government. Okay. But that only happens when you stop eating. People don't overthrow the government for basic civil rights. You have to be starving.
I like how we go from you don't have to worry about it to vive la revolution. You know, madman, king of the middle ground. Next one up is from The Verge. This is an interesting one. Not a fan of California's government, but I'm not sure that I'm opposed to this one. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a law, AB 2426, to combat disappearing purchases of digital games, movies, music, and ebooks. The legislation will force digital storefronts to tell customers that they're just getting a license to use the digital media rather than suggesting they actually own it. When the law comes into effect next year, it will ban digital storefronts from using terms like buy or purchase unless they inform customers that they are not getting unrestricted access to whatever they're buying. Storefronts will have to tell customers they're getting a license that can be revoked, as well as provide a list of all the restrictions that come along with it. Companies that break the rule could be fined for false advertising. The new law won't apply to stores that offer permanent offline downloads, and comes as a direct response to complaints to companies like PlayStation and Ubisoft. In April, Ubisoft started deleting the crew from players' accounts after shutting down the servers for the online-only game. And last year, Sony said it would remove purchased discovery content from users' PlayStation libraries after before walking back the move. Quote, as retailers continue to pivot away from selling physical media, the need for consumer protections on the verge or on the purchase of digital media has become increasingly more important, unquote. California Assembly member Jackie Irwin said in a press release, quote, I thank the governor for signing AB 2426, ensuring the false and deceptive advertising from sellers of digital media incorrectly telling customers they own their purchases becomes a thing of the past, unquote. Forcing storefronts to disclose that they're just selling licenses won't stop them from taking away digital purchases, but at least make people more aware of what they're buying and that it can be taken away at any time. I'm on this one, I'm not sure, because I feel like this is one of those laws that's going to be selectively applied. Basically, if you've pissed off the government of California, they'll apply the law, but if you haven't, well, they won't really go after you. You know what I mean?
It depends on the enforcement mechanism. If it allows for individuals to go after, like it gives people standing to sue and then puts the onus on whoever took the item.
What I think's missing, though, is the storefront ought to list the conditions in which you could, you know, have the license revoked. You know, it's just saying you're buying a license instead of buying the thing. Most, I don't know that people understand that. That's just something you can bury in the fine print. I think they need a list of...
I think it said that they had to list the conditions.
I think it just said that you had to explain what the restrictions were. Unless they're informed customers, they're not getting unrestricted access to what they're buying. They're getting a license that... They will have to tell customers they're getting a license that can be revoked to provide a list of all the restrictions that come along with it. Okay, yeah, I could see it being read that way.
Yeah, the restrictions would be this is when we'll be able to take this away. But my problem is it's sell has a meaning, and they've been using that word. So I believe everyone that has purchased digital media, they have unrestricted access to that media. If it's been taken, it's been stolen from you. So if you bought a season of Deadliest Catch on whatever Sony's thing was, and then Sony said, oh, Disney's being a fuckhead and removed all of our shit from them. If Sony doesn't give you a full refund? No, that's not even a full refund. They have to buy it back from you. Because you own it. So if they're not going to honor what they sold you, then they have to buy it back from you. Now, the reason I say buy it back from you is you get to set the price. You're now the seller. So I might have bought it from you for $19, but I want $100,000.
I want to live in Madman's world. It's a lot happier. Yeah, I am black-pilled as shit on this. If I don't have it physically in my hand, I don't own it.
Well, that's
and
probably
I don't
the
expect
statement.
any company or corporation to hold up their end of the bargain and make digital shit is there when I want it. I don't trust them. I don't care what the courts say. There's no way I'm getting my digital shit back if they take it off me, because it's going to cost me more in court than it will it actually just to repurchase. So, yeah, I like Madman's World. I wish everybody could live in that, but mine's just dark and fuck. And I think mine's a little closer to reality.
Oh, it's a lot closer to reality. I said what it should be, not what it was.
No, I know, man. I mean, that's what I said. I want to live in your world.
And as that is one of the few arguments for piracy, and not that piracy should be okay, but if you've had your shit stolen, pirate it back. You've purchased it. You're not doing anything immoral by enforcing your right of ownership.
I just want to live in theory. Everything works there.
Oh, yeah, but if you looked at some of the theories, they're all horrible. I like reality. I just want people to be moral or just. No, moral and just.
Have to put that fear of eventual God back into them.
If you want them to live like that, man, there's going to be a lot of death.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, there'll be some death.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I mean, I'm not fine with it, but I'm also a realist. People are going to die.
Well, But yeah,
I mean, we're talking about being just.
Even if you do nothing, just wait a while. People will die.
And I'll rephrase that. I'm fine with some people dying because it is just for certain people to die. If you're a murderer, it is just that you die, and we should all celebrate your death.
Hang on, did you kill like a kitty diddler? If that, I'm giving
that
you a free pass. Yeah.
I mean, so long as you've already tried him and convicted him.
Again, once again, Madman, king of the middle ground here, as we went from talking about digital licensing to murder.
Well, just murder.
Hey, it's better than last week where I was feeling air on my own, so I'm good. I am tired, too.
If they're not going to respect your right of ownership, you don't have to respect theirs. And when they use the phrase sell, that means it's mine. It's not restricted. There's no, this can be taken back from you at some time for whatever reason. And if they didn't have the right to sell something, then the problem isn't with me having it. It's Disney needs to go after Sony or whoever's violating whoever's copyright. But I still get to keep my shit.
Well, I mean, I've seen a couple of times now. Like at the gym, I've seen it where one of the TVs will be on a channel that instead of whatever it was that it's supposed to be playing, it says, due to a dispute with Disney, we currently cannot show you this content. And it's like, why the fuck are you putting that up?
I know why they're putting that up. It's so you can put pressure on Disney to let, I think that's...
Well, why are they charging me for that channel if they can't deliver it?
They're currently not charging you for that channel.
At least they shouldn't be.
They're just putting that message there so you know to go bitch at Disney that DirecTV should be allowed to show your shit, cave to what they want to pay you instead of what you're asking for.
Nobody's going to do that.
People have.
People are weird.
Yeah. They've petitioned. It's. I don't know when Disney's lost, but Newsmax has won people bringing them back because enough of their followers started bitching at networks, both cable and I think it was Spectrum and Dish. Hmm. So yeah, writing campaigns work.
Interesting.
And it's not quite that Dish isn't willing to pay for whatever Disney show. They've got five channels now. But if Disney XD goes from, we want $3 million a year for you to have it, to six, Disney may be a bit wrong on that. You don't double the price. And on some of the contracts, they're attempting to do that. They're trying to recoup their loss on streaming.
Ah, I gotcha.
Is Disney Plus... hasn't really made money. Their profitable streaming site has been Hulu, and until recently, Hulu wasn't an entirely Disney-owned thing. It was owned by Cablecom, Disney, and Fox, and then Disney bought Fox.
Oh, yeah.
So it got their rights, and then they're still arguing with the cable company over trying to buy the rest of Hulu.
Disney as a corporation is emerging.
I was going to say, they haven't been doing that well in the old profitability.
Well, the modern audience hasn't shown up, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, their problem is twofold. One is somewhat as the, like already said, the modern audience hasn't shown up. But the reason the modern audience hasn't shown up is they're making films for that audience, but they're not naming them something for that audience. They're making a Marvel film, but none of the characters are actually the named character. There's some woke version of it, but the woke people aren't going to see it because they don't want to see a Marvel film, and the Marvel people are getting pissed off because when they want to go see that character, they want to see that character. Not something named, whatever that character's name was, they want to see the actual character. And that's not happening. Same thing with Star Wars. They've just fucked the fan base. And that's the two of the major ones they're hemorrhaging money on.
What are you talking about, Madman? There's only been four Star Wars movies, the original trilogy, and then that Rogue One thing.
I wish I lived in your world.
Thanks to denial, I'm immortal. Man.
An Ewok Christmas was pretty good.
That's no longer the worst movie.
I'm just saying. I'm just going to stick
my fingers in my ears and go la la la.
Hey, wait long enough, and Captain and fucking Marvel will actually be a good film.
Well, it's never going to be good because the Ewok Christmas isn't the worst anymore didn't make it better.
You live in your world, I'll live in mine, Madman.
Next article.
Yeah, next article.
Next article, because this isn't going to end anytime soon. It's from Telegram. It's from Gizmodo. A month after French authorities charged him with enabling drug trafficking and child abuse on his platform, Telegram CEO Pavel Durov announced Monday that the popular messaging app has taken several steps to weed out illegal material. In a significant reversal, the company changed its policies, and it will now turn over Telegram user IP addresses and phone numbers to law enforcement agencies in response to valid legal requests. Prior to Durov's arrest, the company FAQ page said all Telegram chats and group chats are private. Amongst their participants, we do not process any requests related to them, unquote. In a post on Telegram, first reported by Bloomberg, Durov said that a team of moderators has spent the last several weeks removing unsafe and illegal content. Telegram also updated the platform's search function to make it less likely to turn up such material. Quote, these measures should discourage criminals, unquote, Durov wrote. Quote, Telegram's search is meant for finding friends and discovering news, not promoting illegal goods. We won't let bad actors jeopardize the integrity of our platform for almost a billion users. Durov, who's a French citizen, was arrested on August 28th after landing in his private jet on an airport outside of Paris on a trip to Azerbaijan. French prosecutors charged him with facilitating the distribution of child sex abuse material, organized fraud, and association with criminals to conduct crime. The prosecutor's press release also alleged that Telegram failed to share information with police about illegal activity on the platform. The governments of Iran and Russia have previously banned the app for refusing to turn over information to authorities, although Russia later reversed the ban. In the days after Durov's arrest, Telegram said its founder had nothing to hide and that it was absurd to hold the company or its owner responsible for users who had violated the platform's policies. In an earlier public statement, Durov said French authorities had numerous ways to reach me to request assistance, unquote, including a dedicated email address for European law enforcement requests. But he acknowledged that the platform's rapid expansion, it boasts around 950 million users, had caused, quote, growing pains, unquote. In the weeks since Durov's arrest, Telegram has made several changes to the platform. In addition to the new policy governing law enforcement requests, it removed the people nearby feature, which showed a list of other users in close proximity, and disabled media uploads to Telegraph, the company's blogging platform, which, quote, seems to have been used by anonymous actors, unquote, Durov said. So, we now have the precedent that if you arrest the CEO of a company, you will get that company to start complying.
That's not a precedent. That's always been the case.
Okay, yeah. True. But literally, they didn't like what Telegram was doing, so they just arrested the CEO, even though he's not really doing it. It's just people using the app. But it worked.
Kind of depends on the phrasing of the charges, because the CEO should be accountable for what his business is doing. So if we want corporate accountability, this is how you do it.
True.
Now, yeah, the CEO of Telegraph is going to have to realize something. He's for a long time said, I am a citizen of the world. You are not. You are a citizen of a country. You've got to look what that country is willing to stand up for. And if you don't like it, try to move to a country that will stand up for what you believe. Or try to change that country. And he wasn't.
Go ahead, Arya.
I just prefer my CEOs being prosecuted not to be cherry-picked.
That's a good point.
Because I could think of a lot of CEOs that should be held accountable for what their companies have done.
Well, it's just very interesting to me that you have a company, Telegram, that was advertising that everything they do is private, they don't keep logs, they can't you know, control what's going on. It's all encrypted. They can't respond to police requests. And within a, what, a month of arresting the CEO, yeah, we can censor content. We can. It's just like complete and total reversal. So, does that mean you shouldn't use Telegram? Well, obviously, if you're not if you're doing something illegal, you probably shouldn't be doing something illegal in the first place. But
I think you should just fucking nope out of that social media stuff altogether.
Yeah, that's probably the right answer.
I mean, seriously, you should be really thinking about reducing it down to nothing. No one cares what your fucking life is like.
Well, not only that, you're just opening yourself up. I mean, maybe not in the States, but they were arresting people in Britain for tweets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, shut the fuck up.
Well, hey, the thing for Telegraph isn't the social media aspect of it. Because of how in private it was supposed to be, that was how a lot of news was getting out in heavy censorship countries. If you wanted to know what was actually going on in communist China, you didn't go to the state-run news organization.
Or we
you went to Telegram and see what was going on.
Yeah. Telegram, Signal, and there's a few others. Although Facebook's tried to say the WhatsApp Messenger is just as secure. It's like, sure it is.
Yeah, right. All right, yeah.
Although, apparently Zuckerberg is trying to change his public image. He's trying to claim he's a libertarian now, so it's like, okay.
I think he's having an each way bet. That's what I'm thinking he's trying to do.
I'm thinking he's expecting a different political party to come into power, and he's trying to get out of the line of fire.
I think he's just trying to appease both.
I think he's kind of hoping for a change. But a big problem with Facebook is the middle management.
Yeah, it's not him making Zuckerberg's most of those decisions.
Yeah, if you look at Zuckerberg's older interviews, his statements are fairly pro-free speech. But he doesn't make or enforce policy. I don't think he really makes or enforce policy anymore. I know he doesn't enforce it.
Do they even Facebook have growth on their platform anymore?
No, Facebook proper has been dying for very slowly. That's why they buy Instagram and WhatsApp and stuff like that.
It peaked, didn't it, at a certain point?
Oh,
and now it's just bleeding older users, it's not attracting younger ones.
It also saturated the market. You can't only grow so big.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Madman. But you'd think there'd be at least a slight increase, but if it's not even doing that.
No, it's not. But the other problem they've got is they outsourced all of their censorship. So Facebook censors like mad, and it'll say, oh, content blocked by a third party. And that third party is some company they've contracted with. And 9 times out of 10, they're, you know, some stock, you know, San Francisco contracting company that has then farmed most of the work out to India. And because it's a click-through problem, most of their content reviewers aren't even actually looking at what's going on. They just read a title, see who posted it, and then decide to ban or not.
Yeah, depending on what they've been instructed to do.
Yeah,
it's not just who they're instructed. They let the Southern Poverty Law Center do their content moderation.
Yeah, so it's not that Facebook themselves are making these decisions, but they farmed it out to people who are less politically central, or less politically neutral would be a better word.
Yeah, because the only people that want to have that job generally are people you don't want to have that job.
Yeah.
Here's the truth of it. The truly horrible things that we all agree on, you don't need a third party to censor. I mean, if anyone says, I found kitty diddling on your site, 99,000 out of 100,000 sites are going to just immediately remove that and try to hunt down and shoot the person who posted it.
Why do you think Galaxy 15 doesn't run any long-term forum or ability to post comments or anything? And every time I've wavered on that, RU's yelled at me not to. So
It's because you either moderate it or you have everything posted on it.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not playing piggy in the middle to tell someone that's a no-no word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want it done to me.
Oh, I'm fine with standards. Somebody breaks them, fuck them.
Like, I understand standards, but I think you should have your own standards and bring them with you.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's not a standard. It's what I feel like. A society has standards. People should have held
societal
those.
Standards. You know, be the citizen you want to live around. You
a
know what I mean?
Professional has standards. Sorry.
Yeah, and just be the citizen you want to live around. You know, return your trolley.
Yeah, don't scream at the top of your lungs at 4 a.m. whenever you have paper thin walls. Not that that's ever happened in my current apartment.
If you live in
guns,
apartment,
I can shoot
your,
through that wall.
Keep your music to a fucking acceptable level and an acceptable time of day.
Otherwise, I will be heavily incentivized to take some very powerful speakers and a playlist of the internet's greatest hits, including the My Little Pony theme song, the Baby Shark, and a few other things. Put those speakers up to your wall with an amplifier.
Go with the classics. Badger, 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 mushroom, mushroom.
Or a Rick Roll.
Oh, that's always fun, too.
Yeah, I heard of a better one. A dude got like a, I think it was a 50-pound barbell, and I mean, to vibrate the shit out of it on the floor for a minute at a time at intervals every 10 seconds when he went to work to make his people downstairs move out.
That's funny.
I don't know. Heavy Metal Baby Shark could also be good.
Didn't the court say that was a hate crime? It was considered unusual punishment or something.
Okay.
Oh, no. They're saying it violated the Geneva Convention, but I had to point out those soldiers weren't in uniform. They don't have protections from the Geneva Convention. So, yes, you continue play that at Gitmo.
Okay, well,
24/7.
There's always just building a giant electromagnet, just flipping it on at random intervals.
Oh, your phone just died.
You know, you just have the room that has the magnet and nothing else. And as far as you don't know what's under it, but you love hearing the noise every time you flip it on and off. It's like, no, don't keep anything in the room with the electromagnet unless it's made of wood.
And on occasion, your neighbors just randomly have heart attacks, and you don't know why. EMP fucks with the heart certain times of its cycle.
So why again are you ordering a couple thousand feet of 12-gauge wire? Don't worry about it.
I need to put a Faraday cage around myself whenever I flip on an electromagnet. wait a minute. No, I wanted to be a cyberpunk mummy.
It's not hard to build an electromagnet. You just need an iron core and a lot of wire to wrap around it and some voltage.
And patience to wrap that wire.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do that, replace all your fuses with pennies. Because that's going to be throwing some shit. Whenever you plug it in.
Oh, no, don't do AC. Do DC. AC, that's not an electromagnet. That's just a big-ass inductor. It will get very hot. Use DC. That's how you get an electromagnet. Anyways. Although, I guess you could always set up a spark gap transmitter and learn Morse code. That'd be a good way to fuck with your neighbors.
Laser lightning in your room. I'm sending an SOS.
It's like, what do you do? I restore arc lamps as a hobby.
No, I'm building a time machine.
Exactly.
I'm building a fucking time machine.
No, it went back in time. It didn't get vaporized by the fucking voltage.
We're about to send a cat through.
Oh, man.
It's going to chase dinosaurs.
If no one's listened to that episode of Art Bell, it's worth it.
I haven't thought about that one in years.
The sheriff who actually arrested the guy calls into Art Bell to talk to the guy.
Oh, the guy built a giant Jacob's ladder in his front yard by accident, basically, decided he'd built a time machine and started throwing shit through it because, well, obviously it was going to the past because it disappeared when the Ark hit it.
They're about to get the cat and send it through, and the cops showed up. It was Mitten's lucky fucking day, man.
Oh, shit. Next article is from Torrent Freak. I don't know where we were. I don't know where we are. Do you have the year?
1919.
Okay.
U.S.
court orders LibGen to pay $30 million to publishers and issues a broad injunction. They have a slight problem with this, though. Library Genesis, often shortened to LibGen, is one of the longest-running shadow libraries online. Provides free access to vast collections of millions of books and academic papers that typically require payment. In recent years, rights holders have made several attempts to shut the site down. Court orders have led to LibGen being blocked in several countries, but completely eliminating the threat has been extremely difficult. This is partially because the identities of those running it remain unknown. In 2017, Elsevier won a court case against LibGen and Sci-Hub in a New York federal court, which awarded publishers $15 million in damages. However, both shadow libraries remained online and continue to operate till this day. Hoping for a better outcome, textbook publishers Cengage, Bedford, Macmillan Learning, McGraw-Hill, and Pearson Education filed a similar copyright infringement lawsuit against LibGen last year. According to the plaintiffs, LibGen is responsible for staggering levels of copyright infringement. The lawsuit was stalled for months because LibGen's anonymous operators didn't respond with no viable options. They still haven't figured out who the fuck is running this thing. I love it. With no viable options left, the publishers filed for a default judgment. Rights holders said LibGen distributes at least 20,000 copies or 20,000 of their copyrighted works without permission. This site is designed to be user-friendly while remaining resilient to enforcement measures. For example, LibGen can easily switch domain names if needed and use a censorship-resilient decentralized hosting technologies such as the Interplanetary File System, the publisher said. Yesterday, U.S. District Court Judge Colleen McMahon granted the default judgment without any challenge or changes. The anonymous LibGen defendants are responsible for willful copyright infringement and their activities should be stopped. Quote, plaintiffs have been irreparably harmed as a result of defendants' unlawful conduct and will continue to be irreparably harmed should defendants can be allowed to continue operating the LibGen site, unquote. The order reads, the order requires the defendants to pay the maximum statutory damages of $1,500,000 per work, with a total of $30 million. They are jointly and severably liable. While this is a win on paper, it's unlikely the publishers will get paid by LibGen operators who remain anonymous. I love this. They've got this whole court process, and they're saying you owe us $30 million, but they haven't said to who. Of course, they're doing injunctions. They're trying to get the gateway shut down. They're trying to get the domain name seized. They've actually got in the order for the ability to seize future domain names. So I guess anything with LibGen dot whatever, apparently they have permission to try to seize it. But
fucking pre-crime.
Yeah. But I love that they've gone through this whole process, including a default judgment, when they still haven't figured out who's running the site. And I mean, on one hand, it's kind of interesting because it makes me wonder if you set up an automated set of scripts on a server that's, you know, I guess IPFS here, or any other of these resilient networks where basically the thing's going to live forever, or like maybe stuff like this hosted on the blockchain kind of thing, and just let it run without anybody running it. Okay, it's not really being ran by anybody. When they start filing lawsuits against it, I mean,
it would be you because you set it up. And we've done John Doe and Jane Doe.
Yeah, we have. I know.
Stuff before. But usually there's some identifying marker. Like, we don't know who this DNA belongs to, but we're convicting this DNA strand. That's the identifier or this fingerprint.
Right. So obviously, if they ever figure out who's running LibGen, they're going to try to come after them for this $30 million. But it's just odd to me that they can have this entire process unopposed. Because I guess my question is, okay, if you've got somebody who's running an anonymous website, how do you know that they made a good faith effort to try to find and contact the people they're suing?
Whenever they come forth and are being held liable, that's a challenge they can make on appeal. And the people doing it, like, we posted it on your website or did whatever, or yeah, ran a news article, or they would have to prove that they did do a good faith effort, and with this much money, it was done.
Okay, fair enough. I just, like I said, I just, because, and again, it's one of these things where it's like, well, okay, no, we probably shouldn't be encouraging people to flat out, you know, disregard, you know, intellectual property law, but intellectual property law has problems, so to me, it's kind of funny.
Here's one of them. They were citing academic papers.
Yeah.
You know how many academic papers are taxpayer funded?
Most of them.
If the taxpayers paid for it, shouldn't they have a right to the knowledge?
I would say anything that was funded by the taxpayers should effectively be open source.
Yeah, because I paid for it. I should be able to read it. I didn't need to pay you $35 or $150 or $1,000 for a subscription to whatever site you're putting it on. I paid for it already.
Yeah.
I get to read your paper.
And I think that would be fair, a fair statement. So,
and if you don't want me to read it, get private funding.
Next, do you have anything on that?
No, it was pretty much with Mad Men on that one.
Okay.
Oh, I do have one other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't think that just anyone controlling it, they have to peg it to a person. Because that $30 million, okay, for whatever materials that was valid for, if they're continuously pirating and then, I don't know, the great Dread Pirate Roberts died and I take up the name Dread Pirate Roberts, I'm committing a new series of crimes with the new shit I'm putting on there. The other guy did all the old shit. Well, we need to break this up.
Yeah, prove I was...
I put My Little Pony on there. I put the entire series of Wolf. And fuck your copyright. If you're not selling it, I should be able to post it on here for free. No one can buy a legitimate copy of that series. The only way you can watch it is pirated.
That's an interesting way to do it, though. If you know, if there's a bunch of anonymous lawsuits against the administrators of LibGen, and somebody new takes it over, yeah, you're right. It's like, I wasn't running the site then. I took it over last week. Yeah, I could see that.
That would be an argument I would make. Now, they would say, okay, who did you take it over from? And then if you can't say, then they may apply some corporate speak saying, well, then you took responsibility for the entire corporation if you can't give, you know, who you took it over from.
It wasn't a corporation. It was this guy in the park who just handed me a notebook and ran away laughing.
That's part of the lawsuit we incorporated for you.
Just, you know, some guy at the park.
I mean, I think the dude died. I brute forced the passwords and no one complained. I haven't changed them. He can get back in. I've checked the logs. He hasn't.
Checked the logs. He hasn't logged in since 1998. I mean, anyways.
I need you to check the obituaries for every fat nerd that died at a keyboard.
Surprisingly, next article is from Ars Technica. National Institute of Standards and Technology, the federal body that sets technology standards for government agencies, standards organizations, and private companies, has proposed barring some of the more vexing and nonsensical password requirements. Chief among them, mandatory resets, required or restricted use of certain characters, and the use of security questions. I think that's interesting because some of those I agree with and some of them I don't. The mandatory resets one, like making you reset your password every 3 months, that one is actually kind of dumb.
Yeah, I hate whoever enforces that. They all suck and should be shot. Fuck those people.
Making you change your password, say, once a year? I could see that one because It's more just hygiene, making sure you're still using the account kind of thing. Requiring or restricting the use of certain characters. Sure. And the use of security questions. Okay, I agree with the security questions. The thing with requiring or restricting the use of certain characters. So they're saying, basically what NIST is saying is just make your passwords long. You know, require 24, 36 character passwords or whatever, right? And, although, no, that's not what they say. All passwords should be a minimum of 15 characters. I think if you're going to do this, it should be longer than that. Yes, once you get to a certain level of complexity or length, whether or not you're using all of the special characters shouldn't matter. Now, your system should accept any of the certain special characters in the passwords. Because the argument for requiring numbers and special characters in your password is that you're increasing the problem set. So, if I'm saying, okay, your password can be anything and doesn't have to include numbers, there's a lot of people who will use proper names, the names of their kids, the names of their pets. They'll use, you know, dictionary words for their password and things like that. And those are things that are easily guessed and easily tested. So you'd want to make your passwords hard. Now, if you're saying, okay, you don't have to include all these characters, all these random special characters, but your length has to be 15 characters, you'll have a lot of users who'll lose their mind. It's like, I don't want to come up with a 15-character password.
Don't go with a word. Go with a phrase.
Well, that's the correct advice. Or use one of those, use a password manager that will generate a long string of gobbledygook for you. Because if your password is, you know, 30 characters long, the problem set of somebody trying to brute force that is insane, because the number of permutations doubles every time you add a character. Well, more than doubles. It goes up by a factor every time you add a character to the length of your password, right? So saying the minimum is 15, I can tell you right now, if I went to my users and said, you have to have a minimum 15 character password, most of them would lose their minds.
His kitchen was haunted by the ghosts of long dead chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, but Madman, now everybody knows your password. You just set it on air.
Yeah, but I don't use that one. But just love that phrase. And anyone who can guess the book it's from wins the internet today.
I'm not placing it, so I can't tell you that. I mean, of course, there's always the classic. There's always the classic correct horse battery staple.
Oh, it's American Gods, and everyone should read it. It is a great book.
American Gods is a great book, and I have read it, so I should have been able to place the quote, but I couldn't. So NIST is saying just make long passwords and get rid of some of the other requirements, including rotation. I don't know about the rotation one. If you're using multi-factor, totally agree. If you're not using multi-factor, I still think making you rotate them every once in a while is good practice. But if you're using a good password manager and you're your user is generating a good password, does it really matter?
Here's one thing, and I don't know how a corporation would be able to enforce it, but keep your private passwords and your work passwords separate. Don't use the same one for both.
It's good hygiene.
Your password is your password. Your work password technically belongs to your work. It's their data that you're protecting.
That's good hygiene. That's good practice. But you're right. It's impossible to enforce. Because if I'm managing passwords correctly, I don't know what your password is. I know what the hashed key of your password is. So that if when you punch your password into that form and it's hashed again, I can see if you punched the same thing into the hash form. But I have no idea what you actually punched in. Now, potentially, I could have rainbow tables to show me that. But, that's an attack vector. That's effectively a fancy dictionary attack. I have no way to... You're right. If done properly, there's no way to enforce that other than just trying to teach your users that it's bad practice. So Anyways, what have I got? Last two stories real quick. Admins using WSUS from the register. Apparently Microsoft is depreciating WSUS. If you don't know what that is, when you were running Windows Server on your network, you could run your own update server. So if you had a bunch of computers that weren't allowed to connect to the internet, you could download the updates to the one server and then use that server to get your updates out. Microsoft's not allowing that anymore. They want everyone coming to them for updates. I don't like that, but I understand why they're doing it, because they don't even really want you running your own servers. They want you subscribing to Office 365 or whatever they're calling it this week.
But if I have it all going to one server and then I test it there before sticking into my network, if it breaks something, I know it before I put it in production.
That's right. You can also use it for staging your rollouts. Okay, this department is more tolerant, so they get their updates, you know, next day after they come out. This department, maybe they only get their updates 2 weeks later, so you can make sure that you don't, you know, bomb them with a bad update. But yeah.
Oh, and they should always come out on the weekend when no one is working.
Yeah, that's totally not how that ends up happening. We're going to skip that. And then finally, Winamp open sourced the code. But the license is weird, and people have already found GPL code that was in it. So apparently Winamp was shipping lightly modified GPL code as closed source. So that's a no-no. But apparently whoever's running the repo is going in and just deleting shit when people notice it. Yeah, if you go read the issues in the GitHub, it's kind of funny. But the license they put it out under is weird. It's like their own creation, which is basically you're allowed to contribute code to Winamp, but you're not allowed to use Winamp code anywhere else. So it's literally, hey, community, fix our shit for us. We're not going to do it. But you can't use anything from here. It's only ours. So,
do you want me to be your developer? Where's my paycheck?
Yeah, really. All right.
Here's the bill.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the BBS, the IRC. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, Psychros, myself, and Sardonyx. Not surprising, because the web viewer is broken. Again, I need to replace that or redo the website, or hell, I don't know. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, I was thinking of getting Winamp, but then I started thinking, when's the last time I used a media player on my computer?
There's some better ones. I was playing with AIMP. Somebody had recommended it to me. That one was pretty good.
Let me check that out. I currently still have Media Player Classic installed, just because
that one works too.
Been there forever.
It works. Are you?
The last time I used it is when I watched a DVD on my computer.
A DVD?
You still have a DVD?
I buy physical media, especially of things that don't get big releases. Like, for a while, I was buying all of the DC animated movies when they came out, because I wanted them to keep making them, and then they started making shit ones, so I stopped buying them.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
If you're looking for a movie this weekend, try the one called Savage. It's a New Zealand-made film, 2020. Not going to be for everyone. You'll know if it's for you after the first 20 minutes. That's it from me.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Hand grenades, very important. If you use hand grenades, please use vegan grenades. No animal should have to give their life for all this mayhem and chaos. They have a special sticker on them. You really can't miss them in the...
Security, security, she's got a brick.
I'm going to be honest with you.